Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 5th of May, recording at 5:29 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first a quick review of the week. In terms of global stock markets, they started on a shaky foot among some of the Western markets at any rate, but ended in fine fettle with some real strength shown. Government bonds, they were persistently weak throughout the week until today, and we are seeing a technical rally to end the week. US dollar, it's been weak all week, pretty much. And in terms of precious metals, it's been a pretty good performance here overall, particularly for gold, and we must also say silver. And I think platinum hit a new high also earlier in the week. So those bull trends still very much intact. Industrial metals, it's been a pretty stunning week as well. New highs in a number of instances. Oil fell back down to the top of the range, near $70 for that NYMEX crude. Natural gas, small upside key yesterday, but after a promising start in the unofficial hours this morning, is not getting any follow-through on the upside in here today. Okay, now what about the big picture outlook? Or before the big picture, let's take a medium term theme here. Certainly, as of today, there is no evidence of that sell in May and go away pressure, let alone the midterm election correction that I've mentioned, or the medium term correction that I have forecast for the second and third quarters of this year. That doesn't mean we can't still see that emerge. After all, we're only 5 days into May so far. But the bottom line, the most important point here, is, and I have mentioned over and over and over again, is that when we look around the markets, the uptrends are still intact. And indeed, there have been a number of reconfirmations here. And if we take Asia, I should mention that China and Japan and Hong Kong, they've been closed here because of the holiday period that May 1st, and then the cherry blossom thing in Japan. But a number of markets have been very powerful. India has continued to hit new highs, although it's not surging up. One that is surging up has been the Philippines. Very, very strong. A re-rating clearly going on there. Taiwan appears to have completed its base formation. And we have seen Malaysia, long been a laggard, had a pretty good upward dynamic breakout in here today. And the European markets, well, they had shown some loss of momentum, and that hasn't been completely shrugged off by today's action. But the more important point is that the lows are still rising in practically all of these markets. And also, we do see a number of the Eastern European markets. I think Owen's going to comment on a number of these, had reconfirmed on the upside and really been quite strong. Inevitably, there's always a correction, and Malta had weakened, but it's been such a strong performer overall. And on Wall Street, we had that good upward dynamic by the NASDAQ yesterday, very much range bound overall, but nonetheless finding some support within that range, and it's getting follow through here today. And indeed, we're seeing some new high activity here, I suspect, on the S&P. At least, possibly also the Dow up 114 as I speak. So, bottom line, again, I don't tell the markets what to do. I'll tell you what I think they're going to do, but then I let the markets tell me what they're going to do, and I'll move in line with those those trends. So I have no intention of disturbing any of my long positions in my investment account, and I was almost certainly going to hold those anyway, even if we had clear evidence that a medium-term correction was underway. I was going to hold them because I was only looking for a medium-term correction, which I felt would be an awfully good buying opportunity, or create an awfully good buying opportunity around the fourth quarter. But so far, these markets are shrugging off any selling pressure, despite the gains already seen. Why might that be the case? Well, again, as I've said all along, that if we don't get that medium-term correction, that the factor during this quarter and next, that the main factor behind that would be the liquidity, which is still very abundant. And yes, there's some evidence that central banks are pulling a bit of that liquidity back, but they're doing it perhaps tentatively, and it has not caused any weakness of any consequence in these stock markets to date. That's that picture. Now, in terms of the big picture, long-term outlook, we have a global economy synchronized in a period of economic expansion. That's good for corporate profits overall, and that's of course helping to keep markets up. That can also push interest rates up, and it has, and it may well continue to do so, but not sufficiently to cause any form of serious problem for stock markets to date. And that overall background of this synchronized global economic growth phase, as I say, is pretty good as long as we don't get too much inflation, as long as we don't get interest rates rising too much. It's a generally bullish factor overall. But growth rates are going to vary considerably, and this environment is absolutely ideal, I think, for emerging markets. They're benefiting tremendously from globalization and the technology advance, which means that a number of these countries, China, India, etc., are growing very, very rapidly, and they can continue to do so for quite some time. Inevitably, with any emerging market, once they get their economic act together, they're going to grow at a much, much faster rate than any developed country. Now, also, a number of these emerging markets are exporters of raw materials, and that is, of course, another big theme. So the two primary fuller money bull market themes, and this goes right back to early 2003, that I have been emphasizing over and over and over again, are the emerging market theme that I've just been mentioning. I vastly prefer the emerging markets to the developed markets. It doesn't mean developed markets are going to do badly. I'm just saying the emerging markets would do better. And the other theme is the supply inelasticity meets rising demand. In other words, we are getting absolutely unprecedented demand for these resources, particularly the industrial resources, and that is a very, very powerful secular bull theme. And I think both of these secular bull themes can run for years and years and years. Moving on to government bonds. Don't like this sector. Bull market ended back in June, the last secular bull market, that is, back in June 2003 for most of these markets. And there was a lengthy, predictably lengthy topping out process. And we have really seen no more than base completion in terms of yields moving up for some of these long-dated government bond markets. Others haven't quite completed those bases. In other words, we're just completing top formations for the bond futures prices. And the long-term outlook is for gradually rising inflation, not in a linear trend, in a jagged trend. Right now, central banks, as you know, are trying to rein in a little bit of those inflationary pressures, but they're probably going to continue to err on the side of inflation when push comes to shove. In other words, if we were to see the stock market cycle turned down in a, say, 10 to 20% correction on average among markets, then I would have little doubt that central banks would come in and cut rates and start to pump up the liquidity once again. So overall, this is not a good environment for government bonds, which are in plentiful supply, to put it mildly. And that's the sector that I only want to play on the short side. Right now, I've got pretty tight stops overall because at some point we'll see another technical rally in the sector. But I don't think we can get an important technical rally in government bonds without the medium-term correction in stock markets that I've been talking about. And that would be, once that rally in government bonds had waned, it would present another excellent short selling opportunity. So I expect to be, I don't expect to be owning any long-dated government bonds, those among those that are futures traded at any rate, and I expect to be short far more often than not, and occasionally standing aside in this sector. And but to just one more word on that inflation. People say, well, what about all this globalization, competitive pressures, and pressures becoming even more competitive as more developing countries compete for the foreign direct investment? And yes, that's certainly true, and that's helping to keep inflation in most consumer goods really quite low. And we've actually seen some very powerful deflationary, or disinflationary, I should say, sources due to that globalization. And that's good news overall, but if you pay the household bills, you know what everything else costs, and that inflation is going up. And also for companies, companies want to go in out and build a new plant, start up a mine, so on, then build a power station. The costs are absolutely enormous, and rising due to this phenomenal demand for industrial resources. Okay, moving on to the US dollar. I'm convinced, I've been saying all along, that the US would want a weaker US dollar in here. I've maintained steadfastly that the dollar peaked back in November on the US dollar index, that we would see a slow ranging decline, and then it would pick up speed as perceptions regarding US interest rates shifted away from the guessing game of actually how high would they go to a growing consensus that we had seen pretty well seen the peak, and that the next big move would be downwards. Now, certainly the dollar has been weak in here. I think the US is delighted with that, as long as the dollar is not in free fall, which would create a panicky environment. This is favorable for the US stock market. Remember, all those big multinational companies consolidate their earnings in US dollars, and so their overseas earnings are worth more. That's the point I'm trying to make here. So that'd be beneficial. But American investors should think that they, more than people in most other countries, are losing purchasing power in their currency. But actually, there are no hard currencies. It's just that some countries want a soft currency more than others, need a soft currency more than others. For instance, the currencies that should be appreciating are the Asian currencies, and some have appreciated: Singapore dollar, the Korean won. Now the yen, after a sustained period of weakness, is beginning to appreciate a bit. But this soon triggers the bleat factor, in that no country, as I've emphasized on so many occasions over the last few years, no country in this environment of intense global economic competitive pressures wants a strong currency, which can too easily price, if not price them out on the market, squeeze the profit margins. So That's another, of course, very important factor behind inflation. And that translates nicely into the secular bull market story for gold and its proxies. These have been remonetized in the eyes of investors and will continue to rise overall. Industrial metals. There's a good commodities report that I've posted in here today. I'm just going to stop for a moment. Have to have a little cough. Still that lingering cold, excuse me. Sorry about that. Good report from Capital Economics on commodities. I do commend it to you. I think they're too conservative, and I've explained why, so I don't need to go into that. But have a look at some of the graphs. For instance, the charts of commodities, commodity indices, and some specific commodities adjusted for inflation. That lends some perspective when we get all this talk about the bubbles in the commodity markets. My bottom line view is unchanged from the last 3 years. I think we're just in the early stages of a long-term secular cycle. Commodity cycles can be very long, up to 40 years or more. And bear markets, for instance, tend to be of shorter duration than bull markets, historically. And we had a 21-year bear market in the commodities. I expect a considerably longer bull cycle for commodities in response to this unprecedented global demand as more and more of these developing countries get their economic act together and then commence all the infrastructure building. And of course, then the people and those, and we're talking about 5.5 billion people and rising in terms of population, who all aspire to the lifestyles that some of us have in the West and take for granted. So, unprecedented demand. This is a bull story that's going to run and run and run. And my investment portfolio is very much weighted in their favor with some of these key mining companies, just Rio Tinto, BHP, Billiton, Inco. Those are certainly among my top favorites in my investment and portfolio. So again, overall resources, and particularly the industrial resources and the emerging markets. And for me, I prefer the Asian emerging markets because I think they've got the somewhat better fundamentals overall. Although Eastern Europe, interesting story. The South American, despite some political concerns, the moved left-wing move, interesting story, largely due to the resources exports. These are all terribly interesting. And of course, India remains by far my favorite stock market for the very long term. Well, I say by far. There are others that are going to give it a good run. Vietnam is would be a classic example of that. And did I mention oil? Don't think I did, but still very much in this secular bull market theme. And I think the oil prices are going to go a lot higher over the next few years. Now, provided they don't spike higher, provided they move up gradually with inflation offsetting part of that gain, then that won't cause a crisis. The risk would be if crude oil were to spike sharply higher. I don't think that's likely to happen without some horrific incident, always possible, but I'm not in the business of predicting that at this stage. But there's no doubt that the area of global tension, taking a very long-term view here, well, you see it now to a certain extent, but and I expect this problem to persist, will be competition for these key resources. And I think that's pretty much a wrap. I'm letting you off lightly here, not one of my longer waffling broadcasts. So the weather is fabulous here in London. I'm going to enjoy the weekend, and I hope you do as well. All the best.